Did you come expecting today? And before we start and dive into the message, I want to start with something funny here. An elderly woman had just returned to her home from a Sunday evening church service when she was startled by an intruder. As she caught the man in the act of robbing her home of its valuables, she yelled, "Stop! Acts 2:38. You know, Acts 2:38, turn from your sin, right? The burglar stopped dead in his tracks. The woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed the man to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why did you just stand there? All she did was yell a scripture to you." "Scripture," replied the burglar. "She said she had an axe and 2.38s. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The word of God is powerful." Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. I want to give you an encouraging message this morning about, and I'm calling this, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. You ever felt like you were in a season of hurry up and wait? Seems like things were rushing and you were hurrying things up, and then it's just like, hurry up and wait. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like you've been trying to work through things, and there just hasn't been forward progress? Forward progress like we would have anticipated. You know, there's a lot of teaching out there about seasons of waiting, but I want to talk about the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when we go through trials and tribulations in our life, it's important to understand, instead of trying to work our way through things or to try to work our way out of things, it may just be time to spend more time in His presence. I don't know about you, but I've put myself in positions in my life over the years where I got myself into a mess and only the hand of God could bring me out. Whether it was in my personal life, whether it was in my ministry. I'll tell you what, when I pastored, I did some real wild things. Everybody thinks I'm this nice young man that just did things all perfectly. And so a couple of you have known me since I was very young, and I always had the smile on my face. But there were some mistakes I made in pastoral ministry, and there was messes I got myself in. I understood certain aspects of ministry, and they train you when you go to Bible college, but let me tell you something. Until you've actually pastored a church, you don't know what you're getting into, right? Because I'm not even talking necessarily about the people side of it. There's business side of it that you don't understand. The community doesn't always embrace what you're doing. We were in a community that thought we were crazy when we had relaunched a church that had shut down, and people were saying, "We don't want your kind of church in this town. You're the church on that side of town," because we were on the other side of town. We were in an area of town that wasn't the best, and people didn't appreciate us being there initially. And so it seemed like we were in a season of hurry up and wait. When is it going to seem like we're moving forward? Because you may feel like today that you're marching in place, marking time, and it doesn't seem like you're going forward. Friend, let me tell you something today. Don't get weary in well-doing. As I said earlier, what? In due season, you'll reap a harvest. And it's important in those times in life that you learn to sit at the feet of Jesus and just appreciate His presence. As we were worshiping this morning and singing those songs, I couldn't help but just enjoy the peace of God that was in this place and just rest as we worshiped, because they were songs that would get your eyes off your problem and get your eyes on Jesus, on the goodness of God. Singing the simple chorus, "God, you're so good to me." It's just enjoying the presence of your Heavenly Father, knowing that He's good, being reminded that He's good, that He does not withhold anything to those who walk uprightly. Amen. And you may be frustrated that it seems like that you've stood on the Word of God, but maybe it hasn't manifested the way you wanted it to manifest. Let's just get real here. It may be a promotion that you were believing for when it comes to the workplace. It may be a family situation to change. It may be something in your physical body. It may be simply just wanting to make a bigger difference in the people that you come in contact with. We all want to make a difference, right? And it's so important that we understand and recognize that sometimes we can get lazy in the waiting. But when you look in the Bible, and we'll get to our text here in a minute, when we look in the Bible and we see the word wait, particularly in the New Testament, it's not talking about just waiting around and being just real lazy and eating a Twinkie watching and drinking a Dr. Pepper, watching football, watching the world go by. No, it's like the word gives the connotation in the New Testament Greek like a waiter would wait on their customers. I don't know about you, but don't you appreciate when a good waiter or waitress is just really just up and on it, and you've been at a business for a certain amount of time, and you go in there every single week, and they when you walk in the door, you're the drinks on the table before you even have an opportunity to sit down. And that's how we need to live in the waiting time, and we do that by sitting at the feet of Jesus. But some of you may feel like God's got something bigger planned for you. Friend, you need to quit looking at how big it looks in your eyes and just do it out of obedience. Why? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Big isn't about numbers. It's about obedience. And I think it's important to know that you're making a difference, but we have to realize the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because we can get in such a hurry in life and feel like we've got to do. As somebody who pastored for 8 years and we had to do constant building updates, we actually switched buildings halfway through my time of pastoring. We switched buildings and it was just like there was always something to do. And when you come into the building, Pastor Matt talked about it last week, you look around and you see what needs to be done. And if we don't watch it, it will captivate you and overwhelm you. And there's times and seasons in our life where we need to just be reminded that while life is trying to captivate you, when it seems life is engulfing you and trying to overtake you, we need to get back and sit in the presence of Jesus. Just sit at the feet of Jesus. Just enjoy His presence. Just remember what He did for us at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. We sometimes forget in our faith circles that the cross is what brought us redemption. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that Jesus paid the price. He could have called, the Word of God says, legions of angels, 10,000 angels down, and could have taken Him off that cross. It was not the nails that held Him there, but it was His love for me and you. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Life is more than about impressing people, getting numbers for a church. I know when I would go to ministers' meetings back in the day, and I will get to my text, I promise. But when I would go to ministers' meetings, and I've been a part of a couple of ministerial organizations, and they both did it to a degree, the first thing that they would do is ask you, well, hi, I'm Pastor so-and-so, and I introduce myself. Where do you pastor, and how many people are you running, like people herding cattle? Do you realize that life is so much more than just how many people you have in the seats? I've seen big churches that are doing great things for God, but they didn't have the power of God in the building. A form of godliness denying the power thereof. I just have this in my heart today. Sometimes you come to church, it's like, when are the seats going to get filled? Just keep doing what you're doing and rest in His goodness. And hook up with the plan of God for your life and hook up with the plan of God that He has in this church. Because I'm telling you what, God brought you here for such a time as this, for this time in this season. Rest in what He's done. You know what to do. People have been working. I was thinking about this last week when I was sitting here. There was literally, when the church started in 2008, literally bloodshed. I remember my parents had to take Pastor Marvin to the hospital when he went through those front doors out there. I mean, literally not a good situation. Had to get all this fixed. It was some sort of surgery or whatever they had to do to get that fixed. But let me encourage you and challenge you that the work is never in vain. And what happened was in 2020, it was very easy to get comfortable and just say, well, we're just going to, some people just thought after 2020, when people were told to stay home and don't go anywhere, to not come back to the church doors. But I'm telling you, and let me encourage you, if you'll just come and be faithful and sitting at the feet of Jesus and you do what you're called to do, let me tell you something. We're coming to a time in this nation and a time in this world where people are not going to avoid the house of God. They're going to come running into the house of God because they're finding out that the world has no hope. This world has, people are, they're running out of options. And they were all fake options to begin with, but let me tell you something. People are realizing there is absolutely zero hope in this world system. The only hope that will change and transform my life is through what Jesus did for us and receiving him into our lives. And if we'll be available for people, let me tell you something. Your best days are ahead, and they're very close. Awesome. Somebody should get a pep in their step. Hallelujah. Did I give you enough time to get to the text? Luke chapter 10. Can't tell I'm excited to be here. I haven't run yet, but I probably will before the end of the service. Or I might at least climb a chair. Pastor Matt did not tell me to behave, so I'm not going to behave. All right, just kidding. All right, if you're there, say amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. I'm going to read this out of the King James and the Passion Translation, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, Martha. I added the third one. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Let me read this out of the Passion Translation because I just love how it brings it out. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, and I underline this in my Bible, absorbing every revelation he shared. When was the last time we came to church and just were expecting revelation? Well, that's what Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, that the church would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Why? So they would know the hope of their calling. And sometimes we just need to spend the time sitting at the feet of Jesus to get revelation of our calling. Amen. Verse 40 in the Passion. But Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me. It's a great sister, right? She's jealous. You know, doing the work is not a bad thing. How many of you know there's things to do in the natural? Aren't you thankful for Brother Lonnie that comes and gets all the lights going? Aren't you thankful that he came and turned the air conditioning on this morning? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for air conditioning this time of year. Especially, it seems like the heat has hit earlier than normal. And I'm thankful that he came in and he had coffee ready to go. Coffee is scriptural. And he comes in and he brews. Bless the Lord. You wonder why I'm a little excited today? I don't know what he put in that coffee, but man, it's some good stuff. It's caffeinated. It's anointed. But anyways. And the Lord Jesus comes back and answers her. Verse 41. Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled? Pulled away by all these many distractions. Are they really that important? A lot of us have had distractions in life, and you know, we get You know, we get so focused on little minor details when we just need to stay focused on Him. Amen. Mary discovered, verse 42, Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. And there's a lot that Jesus said here. And there's a lot we can glean from this. But I want to dive into this. There's three things that happen when you sit at the feet of Jesus, and they all begin with the letter R. I want you to remember these, so that's why I made them the letter R, so you'll remember. All right. The first thing we see here, when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you receive. Say the word receive. We see that Martha did the right thing, and she let Jesus into the house and welcomed Him into the house. How many of you know it's important that we welcome Jesus into the house? And as we get caught up in our programs and our order of service and everything that's going on, we need to make sure that Jesus is welcomed in the house. You may say, well, we, you know, the Holy Spirit, we welcome His presence into the house. What's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is ultimately to draw people to Jesus and lift up Jesus. Amen. And so we welcome Him to this house. That's what we did this morning. We didn't get up and just say, you know, go into a song and just sing a song just to say we had 20 minutes in the service. We welcomed the presence of Jesus into the house. So Martha started off right. And it's important that we receive Jesus into our lives, allow Jesus to rule and reign in our homes. Amen. But we need to do more than just receive Him into our homes and into our lives. We need to receive revelation light. Revelation light of His Word. It says in verse 39 of the Passion Translation that Mary sat down attentively. If you're going to receive revelation from the Lord, you're going to have to focus, and you're going to have to spend some time with Him. And there's some discipline that has to take place. In other words, you've got to make a conscious decision to sit at the feet of Jesus. But meanwhile, Martha was just too busy. She was doing things that needed to be done in the natural. I'm thankful that Brother Lonnie gets it. He comes in early and gets the coffee going so the pastor can preach and get excited, can put extra caffeine in it for me. But he comes in when service starts and he worships. We need to, don't just think if you come and you volunteer at something here at the church that it's just your work that you do. Everything that we do in this house, it's to lift up Jesus. And how you keep that in perspective is sitting at the feet of Jesus. So whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. Amen. And so I'm not here to demonize Martha. Martha was doing things that needed to be done to a degree, but she just got off focus. I don't know about you, but over the years, I've appreciated the excellence of this house, right? Man, I mean, they even gave me two reserved seats. I mean, that's awesome right there. They got me one for me and my wife that I don't have yet. I'm single. I'm not married, so they got one for me in faith right there. You can all laugh. It's okay. But but when you come in and people greet and people say hello and you come in and the sound, these things just don't happen by the flip of a switch. There's prayer that goes into it, and there's natural things that go into it, and flipping through music. As a worship leader myself, it's just like sometimes we could get caught up just working through music, flipping through music and having 6-inch binders full of music and having 5 of them and trying to figure out which song to do. And what key to do it in. And if we get caught up in the natural things of it, although there's things we need to take care of, we'll miss the blessing that God has for us because we get too busy. And I remember when I would go in my church, and that was part of the reason I needed to take a little time off. I would go into my church that I pastored, and when I was in kindergarten, the only thing I got in trouble for was I couldn't sit still. And that's why I'm a preacher. Because I can't sit in church, so I've got to stand. I think that's why the Lord called me. No, I do the same thing when I lead worship. I stand. I can't sit still. And so when I would go to the church and work, I would see every little thing that wasn't done quite perfect, and my mind was just wired to a degree where I would get distracted and just look at every little thing that was wrong instead of taking time and receiving what God had for me. Pastor Matt was talking about that last week. He said, yeah, I could come to church in here, but I'm just going to see every little thing here and there and all that. At least that's what he said. Maybe he doesn't like my preaching, but anyways, maybe that's, I'm just kidding. No, it's good to get away. That's what I had to do. It's, and people don't understand, sometimes you've got to get away from a situation, just from seeing what's around you, to just say, Lord, I just received from you. Hook up to the IV. I say that when you come into the house of God, when you come in and worship, sometimes, and you sit under the word, sometimes it's like hooking up to a spiritual IV to get the nutrients that you need to continue to move forward. And some of you have just been in your lives, not just in the church, but just in your lives in general. It's been work, 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 and things have changed since 2020, and that sometimes we've got less workers doing more things. And sometimes we get so tired and weary that we just don't take the time to receive in church. Because by the time we get to church, it's just like, oh, we're tired, but we made it into the room. We made it in, right? Well, you started off right. You are here, but just figuratively speaking, sit on the edge of your seat and expect that revelation knowledge to flow. He'll give you revelation for every single situation that you're going through in your life. God is faithful. He won't leave any. He desires to get direction to you. Isn't that good news? And again, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The best thing to help you grow in your life is to have a revelation of Jesus. You know, let me say this today. Jesus is not mad at you. When we get off focus, he's not disgusted with you. Sometimes we go and we look at the Old Testament way of doing things, but we're under a new covenant with better promises. God is not looking to swallow, open up the world and open up a part of the earth and swallow you up. Come on, somebody. We sang it this morning. He is good. And although I think we could get into a time where we're just saying God is good all the time, God is good all the time, God is good, it's a reality that we need to get a revelation of. And let me tell you something. We need to spend time receiving, just like Mary did in this passage. Just take the time and sit at the feet of Jesus. It's what your pastor's doing right now. Take his example. And when you come into the house of God, just receive. Just like, God, I'm getting everything that you have for me. I just receive it. So, number one, you receive. Number two, when you're in the presence of Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus, you rest. Say the word rest. This is what I want to get here to today. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there if you have your Bibles, because I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 4. Because I want to just talk about biblical rest for a little bit here. I believe that if we'll grab a hold of this, I believe that we'll step into some things that God has for us as we move forward in his plan for us. Amen? I'm going to start with the King James. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. It says this. And if you mark in your Bible, this is one that you need to mark in your Bible, verse 9 in particular. It says this, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he's also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into rest. Now that seems like an oxymoron, right? Let's labor to rest. But I don't know about you, but in order to rest, it takes some effort for me. Amen. Sometimes you've got to work to put yourself in a place of rest to receive. It, I don't know about you, but it's hard to shut my mind off about everything that needs to get done. Sometimes the best thing to do is just turn off the phone, turn off the TV, and just rest. There is no good news going on the television right now. So you might as well not watch any of the news. You know who could tell you what's to come? The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. And I'm not saying we need to completely disconnect from what's going on in the world. It's important to know what's going on. But ultimately, the one who will tell you things to come is the Holy Spirit. He won't lead you astray. And so when you see things that are going on in the world, Jesus, look up. Your redemption is near. Understand and recognize no matter what's going on in this world, He's going to make sure that you come through it on the other side. No matter what the economy's doing, no matter what wars are breaking out across this world, understand and recognize that the Holy Spirit will never give you fake news. Amen. Hallelujah. Labor into rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then it leads up to this verse that we all know and we love to quote in verse 12. One of my favorites. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But notice that the writer of Hebrews puts that after the importance of rest. And too many times the word of God is of none effect because we're so busy and we're not resting in who we are in Christ, and we're not resting at the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The word of God will work for you if you'll put the word to work, but there is a rest of faith. Come on, somebody say amen. And then we jump down to verse 16. Let me jump down to verse 14. It says this: seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession of faith. Once you rest in God, then you hold fast to your profession. And some of you have confessed, or professed, however you want to say it, and you've confessed till you're blue in the face. And you wonder why things aren't changing and transforming. It's because we're not taking time to rest on His promise. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to, what's the song say? Rest. Say the word rest. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. We've got to, once you've done all you know to do to stand and rest. It doesn't mean when you're resting that you're sleeping on the job. It means you're resting in who you are in Him and you're not worried about it. You've taken worry out of the equation and it's just, I trust God. I put my faith in God. Have faith in God because faith works. But sometimes we put more faith in our confession, until we're blue in the face, and we turn faith into a formula. When Brother Hagin taught on faith, he never intended for it to get to the point where people put more faith in his formula than faith in the Word of God. Because too many people would hear his stories, and then they would start preaching like him to the point where they would just go around and just start twiddling his thumbs like he did. It was a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. And so what we need to understand is faith is a reality, and the reason that faith worked for him, the reason he had a testimony, was not because that he had this magic formula. Come on, I say this all the time. God is not Aladdin. He's not a genie. But he does want you to experience a whole new world. Some of you get that later. A whole new world. All right. But you need to recognize and understand that faith in the Word of God will work every time, but don't put your faith in a formula. Don't put your faith in how many times you confess, because every now and then, guess what? You're going to miss it. You ever seen that Charles Capps book, God's Creative Power? I use it. But I remember I used to go through that. There was a few just good confessions, just speaking the Word. And I would go through it three times a day. Once in the morning, once on my lunch break, once at night. And I remember I beat myself up because I forgot to do it at lunch. And I beat myself up and condemned myself. And I started just like, oh, I missed it. God's not going to be as a prayer. And then it just dawned on me. God is not looking at my performance. He's looking at me through what Jesus did at the cross. I confess the word to stir myself up in my most holy faith. The confession is to help me. It's not impressing God. Because what Jesus did at the cross was not based on our performance. If it was based on our performance, we would all be on the way to hell. Come on, somebody. But when I was praying up, and here's the thing. When I was praying for these services, I was up in Chicagoland, and I heard from God for this congregation. And when you can hear from God in Chicago, that's a big deal. Because God, I feel like, has abandoned Chicago, right? No, he hasn't. But, you know, I was praying, but that's where I sense many people are. And I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart. And I don't say that lightly, because sometimes the Lord said this, the Lord said that, and it's not. But I really felt impressed to say these things, that the church, people in maybe in this church and congregation may be missing the fullness that God has for them because they're putting more faith in strategies than just resting in the finished work. And sometimes we got to go back and just receive his love. Oh, we used to sing songs, "When I Think of His Goodness and What He's Done for Me." And we would shout, we would run the aisles, we would run the chairs, and we would get up, we would just get up and we would just shout and we would be all at another level. But then life started hitting, and then our level of rejoicing came down. Come on, you got a reason to shout this morning. Hallelujah. In other words, you already got it, like a dog that's got its tail. You know, a dog will chase its tail. I got a dog that likes to chase her tail. And she's trying to catch something that she already has. Come on, somebody should have shouted right there, because some of you have been chasing after a healing. Come on, somebody. Some of you have been chasing after a healing that's already yours. Some of you have been chasing after provision that's already yours. Some of you have been wondering, when am I going to get peace? You got to look down on the inside. Because the Prince of Peace, the Spirit of God, lives on the inside of you. Well, come on, somebody. Labor into rest means we have to work on resting. In order to obtain mercy, we're going to have to rest. And Martha, back to our text, Martha was very upset with Mary. She is resting, and in Martha's eyes, she was doing nothing. The verse 40 in the King James says Martha was cumbered. That word cumbered means she was distracted. And here's the thing. Don't get distracted what's not happening. Get focused on what God is doing. Let me say again. Don't get distracted what you think should be happening is not happening. Get focused on what God is doing now. Because God's doing some wonderful things. He's doing some great things in our midst. Even if you don't see it, I'm telling you, there's some things that are, God's always working around us if we'll just put our faith, hope, and trust in Him today. In seasons, particularly when I pastored, I would get stressed out. It'd be because I would neglect my personal time with God. Sometimes we got to go back and remember, there's just something about spending that devotion time with God and resting in Him. Jesus answered Martha in verse 41, and there's a translation called the Brady Translation, puts it like this: "Thou art careful, worried, and troubled about many things." See, there's the Brady bunch right there. Martha, 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 and the Brady Translation. Anyways, so we get that later. When we get worried and troubled, we don't rest. When we go through seasons that are a bit harder, it's very easy to just feel like we got to work, 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 right? And sadly, sometimes I gave into that temptation. But I don't know about you, but there was an old song that said this: "He's still working on me." Hallelujah. So number one, you've got to receive. Number two, you got to rest. Number three, you've got to remain. Stay at His feet as you move forward in Him. We can all know that it's the right thing to do, but you got to remain there, listening to His voice. You know, when you walk with Jesus, you're always moving forward. When Peter got his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And we've all gone through situations where we felt like we were sinking. Have we not? But let me tell you something. Did Jesus just, when Peter began to say, he's like, "Huh, goodbye, Peter, been good knowing you." We'll see you in paradise, Peter. Goodbye. No, what'd he do? He put his hand there and lifted him out of his misery. Lifted him out from death. And that's where we are at today. If we'll remain in his presence, even when we got enough, we'll just get quick to get back in focus and remain at the feet of Jesus. He'll snatch us up, bring us back up. He's so good. Amen. Verse 42, Jesus said, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chose the good part, which shall not be taken from her." Let me tell you something today, and let me encourage you that in this day of distraction, stay focused on him. Verse 42 of the Passion says this. I'm about done here. Mary has discovered the one thing that was most important by choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. I understand it's easy to get distracted, even doing the right thing. We could be doing the right thing and get distracted, right? But when you remain at the feet of Jesus, you remain in the presence of the Savior. When you remain at the foot of at the feet of Jesus, you remain in the presence of the healer. Some of you have been work, and trying to just like, why isn't things working? Why is it just I'm marking time? Why am I not moving forward? Why does it seem like I'm taking two steps forward and three steps back? Maybe it's now it's just time to rest in him. Just to rest on his promise. You know what's interesting about this story is, this is the introduction to Mary and Martha. They understood. Now, I just want you to think about this. They understood this principle, and they knew he had healing power. Now, Martha got a little upset, but in John chapter 11, we see where Lazarus had died and was dead for 4 days. But they knew who to call. And sometimes we get so focused on, well, Martha was just upset that he didn't get there on time. But it looked like an impossible situation. They knew who to call. Their faith was, you know, I believe in doing things right and walking in the Word, but their faith per se was not perfect, but they knew who to call and they knew who had the answer. And when Martha came and told Jesus that if you would have got here earlier, he wouldn't have died. Jesus did say, well, quit chucking an attitude, Martha. I'm out of here. Aren't you thankful? And he went. He goes and he weeps. And people could debate why he wept. I believe it was, you know, some will say he wept because of the unbelief. Some will say he wept because of compassion. But in the midst of all of that, after that, he called him forth and he lived. And we know he lived a time because later we see he was over at their house eating. It brought transformation. So sitting at the feet of Jesus paid great dividends for Mary and Martha. Because we see right here, that's it formed a friendship. Come on, somebody, what a friend we have in Jesus. It formed a friendship where they knew who to call. Do you know who to call today? Acts chapter 3 says we're to experience times of refreshing. And it's important we be refreshed today. You know, when it comes to building a minute, you know, working with traveling ministry, one of the things that happens sometimes is every now and then you get a cancellation. And I like to build schedule out, and I got so upset the other day in the natural, had a cancellation on July 2nd. I'm like, why did that happen? Because I was really looking forward to going to this place, and we're rescheduling it. But I had told other people I was already booked that particular day, so I'm like, God, I'm so upset. I turned this down, blah, blah, blah. I was griping. I was like, God, especially when you're believing God, and it's like, this kind of went away, and there was one opportunity that I looked at, and I was like, I really wanted to go see that pastor, see that church, love the church. And I finally just had to like stop. It just came. I mean, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. Quit being carnal. Things happen. So I finally worshiped God. I'm just like, I don't even care. You know, a couple hours later, the first place that had asked me to come, they asked again if I was still, do you happen to be available that day? I know you said it was booked, but yeah, so it was booked. Within a couple hours, it was fine. God is faithful. But I got so carnal over, I would like to say that this was something that happened years ago, and I'm so much more spiritual now. This happened on Friday, like 2 days ago Friday. And I was so upset about, it was just like, Matthew, you need to calm down and rest. Because I get worried. I like to go, go, go. I like to jump on chairs. I like to, I like to go, go, go. If we'll rest in God, He'll delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Him. Trust in Him. He'll bring it to pass, and He'll bring you up to another level. He'll bring you up a level out of your misery. He'll bring you up out of your sickness. He'll bring you up out of your confusion. He'll bring you out of all the chaos that surrounds you, and you'll look above it, and just like Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6 says, you're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you have a revelation of that, you understand that you look at your circumstances and your situations with another point of view. If you're in the middle of your circumstances, you look at all the confusion. But when you look at things the way God looks at things as a king and a priest, they look down at their situation. It's like, it's going to work out. Why? Because God's working things out for me. Why? Because I got authority. But the authority of the believer ain't going to work if you're getting mad and upset. Don't get mad at God. He's not mad at you. But some of us, we get upset when things aren't going to plan. And guess what? Something happened where Lazarus dying was not to plan. But because they learned to sit at, when they learned to sit at the feet of Jesus, when the trial and the tribulation came, they knew who to call and they knew who had the answer. And even when they didn't have their faith confession just perfect, Martha's like, why weren't you here 4 days ago? Jesus didn't walk out because she chucked an attitude. Because she did chuck an attitude. That's just what's happening in sorrow, right? Jesus responded and said, Lazarus, come forth. Woo, hallelujah. You see how important it is to sit at the feet of Jesus? Hallelujah.